Thankful to be here today. I want you to keep your Bibles open there to the book of Nehemiah, And no, I am not confused. I know it's not Sunday night. Sunday nights we're going through the book of Nehemiah. And we're not to this chapter yet. We'll be there tonight looking at the various gates that God wants repaired in our life. And let me encourage you to be here tonight as well. We do have a missionary coming this evening and missionary family to Uganda. And would you come tonight and be a blessing to them? And we're looking forward to that. Again, I'm not confused. I know it's Mother's Day, and I've never been good at preaching Mother's Day messages because I don't know much about being a mother. I don't. In fact, I don't know anything about being a mother. I know some great ones. I know what the Bible says. I live with an awesome mother. I lived with an awesome mother, and I still live with a great mother. But this morning, I know it might sound strange to come from the book of Nehemiah, a book on building, a book on accomplishing, a book on things that we could see, and we'll see on Sunday nights as well, and pick this particular passage. I want you to focus in, and I'll give you the reason why in just a minute. I want you to focus with me on verse number 10, as was already read, where the Bible says this, and Judah said, "The strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed, and there's much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall." We're not able to build the wall. Now, you say, why in the world would you talk to moms and ladies about the construction business? Although I'm sure there are some of you in here, you could probably build things much better than I can. I'm in the deconstruction business. I'm in the destruction business. That's what I do. I can tear things apart very quickly and very thoroughly. I cannot build very much. So maybe that's your business. But would you turn with me to Proverbs chapter number 14 this morning? Proverbs chapter 14 this morning, and you'll see why. Proverbs chapter 14 this morning, and we'll just read one verse, and we'll come back to the book of Nehemiah. I want to encourage you ladies today. I say that because I have, I'm not sure I'm a student of people, but I do watch, and I watch our culture. There's an assault on womanhood, an assault on biblical womanhood. Amen. And ladies, I say this to you, that if you endeavor to live out biblical womanhood, what the Bible says, by the way, I want you to understand that no lady's life is a pattern for another lady's life. We do need to understand that. Everybody give me an amen on that one right there. But there is biblical womanhood that is a pattern for every woman. If you endeavor to live that out, you're going to be criticized. You're going to be told that you're less than, you have not lived out your potential, and that you somehow missed out on what really life is all about, living biblical womanhood. And there's nothing could be further from the truth. Amen. Nothing could be further from the truth. I cannot express to you my own appreciation for my mother, my grandmother. I have a grandmother in heaven, God-fearing women. I grew up with God-fearing women. I cannot express to you the admiration and the respect I have for my wife's mother who is in heaven, who was a woman that loved the Lord, and my own wife and the ladies of this church. And so I just want to encourage you this morning that yes, it is A-OK for you to live out biblical womanhood. Amen. Biblical womanhood. It's okay. And it may not be celebrated in our culture, but our culture does celebrate the wrong things anyway. Somebody say amen right there. I want to encourage you today Now, the reason I say I encourage you is because I'm not the wisest guy in the world. I've not been everywhere, but I'm finding that a lot of ladies, go back with me to the book of Nehemiah. Oh, and Proverbs chapter 14. I didn't even tell you that one, did I? Proverbs chapter 14. Let's look at it. I think I already turned from there. I think I know the verse, but in case I misquote it and somebody throws a rock at me, I'll make sure we got it right there. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1. Would you read that with me? Ready? Begin. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. The Bible says, every wise woman buildeth her house. And that's amazing. We've spent several weeks on the role of a father and the nurture and the admonition, where the Bible gives the instruction clearly to the father, but yes, to the family, to raise children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. But the writer here in Proverbs, it says very clearly that yes, dear ladies, you have an incredible responsibility, privilege, and a vital role in building the house. Amen. Building the house. I'm not going to get on the negative side. Please forgive me this morning. I was going to title the sermon today. I'm not going to say what I was going to title it, but I was going to have on there 7 verses 31. Now, I was going to go down and compare and contrast the woman of Proverbs 7 with the woman of Proverbs 31. But we don't need to do that today, because I'm looking at some virtuous women today. Amen. I believe our church is filled with virtuous women and virtuous women to be. I want to encourage you today, ladies, to live out your biblical womanhood, to not be ashamed of it, to not be embarrassed of it, to not think that you're somehow living less than what you should be by accomplishing that which what God wants you to do. Everybody clear with me on that? Now back to the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 4. Every wise woman buildeth a house. If we're going to entitle a sermon today, I guess I would entitle it this: what's a woman to do? What's a woman to do? Now, ladies, you probably have a to-do list in your purse right now. Some of you have it opened right now in your Bible, and you're marking things down on it right now. That's the way ladies work a lot of time. I often find sermon notes and grocery lists on the flip side of them. Sometimes the sermon notes are interfused with grocery lists. The Lord said this, the Lord said this, pineapples, and whatnot. So, ladies, I know that your job is 24/7. Now, let me say to this today, it's Mother's Day. It's Mother's Day, and I do not want to exclude you as a woman, that we're going to apply this directly to mothers, but the application, yes, is to all ladies and ultimately to the fellows as well, as we'll get to some things today. But I know this in the last 10 years of ministry here, that there is something that every lady faces. And when I have heart-to-heart conversations with women, when I sit down and talk with them and they say to me things like this: I am so discouraged with the job that I'm doing in my home. I'm so discouraged with the job that I'm doing as a wife. I just feel like I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing and how I could be doing it. And you battle discouragement. And I want you to help you this morning to battle discouragement in your life, particularly as a Christian woman, because you're living in a world that discourages Christian womanhood. Somebody give me an amen this morning. Fellas, we're not going to have one of these where you're going to get in trouble for amening. This is all good today. Amen. A lot of times when preachers preach on anything, the womanhood, the men scoot over. They got to give room for the Holy Ghost, you know, and they skid over and they just sit there and they don't ever say nothing, all right? Because you don't want to come up, ugh. But that's not this morning. I want to show you the areas of discouragement that I believe that ladies you face, we as believers face, and then I want to give you some ways to overcome it. I know this personally, as we've added this fourth child to our home, that the workload just increased by one. It seems like for every child, the workload increases by two. Some children, it increased by five. We won't say which ones they were. Amen. But that's the way it happens sometimes. How many of you understand that one child is three and three child are five, and depending on what they got? Somebody say amen right there. But I want to tell you something. I've watched my wife as she has had increased in load in her life, as she has kept up the mantle of being my helpmeet, as she has done these different things. I have seen people say things to her such as this. As you guys know, my wife is she's my teammate, right? We get things done around here, and she's my teammate. I've seen or heard people say things to her such as this: you could be doing so much more. You could be doing so much more. Not talking about people in church, talking about church. I'm talking about people saying, what you're doing with your life right now, you could have been doing so much more. My wife's got a brain for business. She's got a brain for things like that. And boy, she could probably use that in different areas. And they say things like, you could be doing so much more. And she's never said it. And I've always tried to encourage her, just being transparent with you. But it bothers me when somebody says something like that to my wife. I'm not talking about her level of activity here. I'm talking about what she's accomplishing with her life, the house that she's building. She is building it in the will of God. There's nothing more that you can do. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you, ladies, as long as you build it in the will of God, there's nothing more you can do, nothing more you should be doing.
Amen.
Amen. And so there's some things I want to encourage you with today on facing discouragement and overcoming discouragement. I battle preaching a message like this because I am not one of those. I am against victimology. I hate victimology. In fact, I've got a message coming when we pick Focus of the Family back up here in a couple of weeks or months. Victors versus victims. And it's crept into the church, victimology. I'm not a victimologist. I do not like it. But I will tell you this. There is a lot of discouragement coming your way. It's satanic. Amen. It's unbiblical. It's ungodly. And my dear sisters in the Lord, I speak to you. I love you so much. You're so vital. So vital to the life of your home, to the life of this church, and the life of this country. And that's for every woman in every place, every country. Amen. I know we make a lot of jokes about why didn't God make Eve first? Because he didn't want advice and blah, 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 blah. But let me tell you something. God said very clearly, he needs some help to get done what he needs to get done. Meaning this, Adam in his sinless state with no hindrances whatsoever, talking about professional hindrances. It was just him in the garden. He had no competition. God said, that man needs help. And I'm not going to send him another man. I'm going to send him a woman. Because the woman will help him build the house. Amen. This message is not about ladies, get submitted, get under. Blah, blah. That's not what this is about. I want to encourage you this morning, my dear sisters in the Lord. Apart from deception, there is no tool of Satan that is more effective or more devastating than discouragement. D.L. Moody once said this, I have never known God to use a discouraged man because the discouraged man does not think he can be used of God. Discouragement is when you feel hopeless, when you feel like what you're doing doesn't make a difference and there is nothing you can do to make a difference. What you have done has not made a difference. It's discouragement. Nothing waylays people and renders them out of commission for the Lord and out of His will like this thing called discouragement. It's a powerful tool, and Satan is a master at using it. He's an entrepreneur when it comes to discouragement. He'll seize any opportunity, any time, anything. He'll use any situation he can to bring discouragement into your life. You can have what you would call a successful day, meaning this, you didn't kill the kids, they got fed, all right, the house didn't get burnt down, and everybody's A-okay, and there will be one little thing that you left undone that Satan says, see, you are inadequate, and you're not fulfilling your role, blah, 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 blah. You can be doing all these different things, and we're not going to talk in today about whether women should work or shouldn't work. That's not what this is about. But you can sit there and have your job, ladies. I know many of you work so very hard. My mother taught at Christian school. She worked so very hard, and that there you will sit there, and you will do things, and you'll come back, and you say, I just didn't cut it today, and you get discouraged from the life that you're living. And Satan's goal is this, not to keep you in the life that you're living, but to get you out of it. Throw in the towel, say it's not worth it. I want to tell you this morning, it is. Years ago, a man in Kentucky retired. It's a true story. He retired and he sat on his front porch to live the good life. This is a true story. He sat on the front porch to live his good life, and when he got his very first Social Security check, he was extremely disappointed. It was small. It wasn't nearly what he thought he was getting. And he thought, I've lived my whole life for this, and I've got nothing to show for it. He had nothing to do. He needed to make ends meet. And so he went and got a recipe from his mother. And he began to serve it at restaurants. And nobody wanted it. But finally somebody did. And finally somebody bought that recipe. And Harlan Sanders, Mr. KFC, went through discouragement and turned out on the other side a little bit better. Now, I do need to give you a little secret. People in Kentucky do not eat Kentucky Fried Chicken. That is the truth. One, it ain't Kentucky. Two, it ain't fried, and I'm pretty sure it's not chicken. All right? But I want to show you some vehicles of discouragement from Nehemiah chapter number 4 this morning. This is not going to be a really deep message. I just want to encourage you, because ladies, I know what you're facing. I grew up with, and I'm sorry to use my mom and dad as illustrations, but they are my mom and dad. But my mom worked very hard. She served the Lord. served the Lord faithfully there with her Christian school and served way beyond capacity what she should have been doing, in my opinion, but that's what she did for the Lord. She served our home, and she loved our home, and she helped us have a good home, and we always had good meals to eat and all those good things. And so she worked very hard. But I know she never told me. I never saw it. But I know she faced discouragement. I know she did. I know you do as well. So I just want to give you some things this morning that I have seen and see ladies face, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. And let me have a word of prayer. Because ladies, I want you to leave this place knowing that whether you're single, whether you're married, you're a single mom, empty nester, grandparents raising grandkids, whatever you are, I don't want you to be discouraged in your state. I want you to leave encouraged knowing I can live out my biblical womanhood. Amen. Amen. Father, help these ladies now. Help me help these dear sisters. Lord, the truths we're going to give this morning are applicable to all of us, but Father, I want to focus in. Lord, our culture has so many things pulling at us. We've got the Pinterest culture, and thankful for those helps there, Lord, but every day's got to be a party, and everything's got to be this and that. And then we also got to juggle. We've got to be 100% professional life. We've got to be 100% over here, social life, and all these kinds of things. And our dear ladies are running ragged, and they're being discouraged, Father, and Satan's using it. I pray that you'll help our dear ladies this morning. Lord, help us as those of us who are husbands to recognize some of these symptoms and some of these signs and help overcome them. And Father, I pray that our women, our dear women of God, these virtuous women, our church is so blessed to be filled with women like this, Father, that they would leave encouraged today to keep on doing what they're supposed to be doing. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to notice very quickly some things today, and I'm going to give you the antidote for it. What you face and how you can overcome it. Number one, vehicles of discouragement. Number one, fatigue. Look at me, verse number 10. And Judah said, the strength of the bearer of burdens is what? It's decayed. What was he saying? They were tuckered out. They had given all they could give. They had worked. And those of you that don't know the story of Nehemiah, Nehemiah comes back to help Jerusalem build its walls. And the people begin to work. And the Bible says they had a mind to work. And they begin to get into the project. They begin to do what they were doing. But they hit a wall before they even got the wall built. They hit a wall. How many of you know what I'm talking about when you hit the energy wall? I know you're thinking, you're talking about pep talk, coach talk here. You shouldn't be talking about physical strength. But the Bible says very clearly we are three parts. We are body, soul, and spirit. Somebody say amen. You can go back and look trace your history here in the Bible. Look what happened when Jonah got a little bit fatigued. Look what happened when Moses got fatigued. Look what happened when Elijah got fatigued. They got very, very discouraged, even depressed. Even David did from time to time. I could track that with you through the Bible. I'm trying to tell you something, that your body is connected to, yes, to your spiritually. Absolutely it is, and don't you say it's not. Here's what I understand. Ladies, I know you work hard. It's amazing. I forgot how much laundry a baby increases in a household. I forgot about that. I really did. We hadn't had babies in 6 years. We got boys, but how many times do you change them, right? It's like twice a week. All right, but we do that, all right? But I'm going to tell you something. This little baby, it's constant bib. It's this. It's that. It's all those kinds of things. And before you criticize my wife, we didn't go organic and do those stupid cloth diapers. We went Pampers Deluxe. Somebody say amen. We're not going to wash them things all the time. Oh, well, it's got charcoal in it. Well, you can eat charcoal and cure your stomach sickness. So anyway, I don't know how it helps with babies, diapers. But the bottom line is this. The workload has increased tremendously, and I'm not trying to embarrass my wife here, but it's increased tremendously in her life. You say, why don't you wash the clothes? Because she don't like the way I do it. Everything comes out the wrong color and three sizes too small, so I'm not allowed to touch it. I can't even fold laundry because she's got a certain way she wants it done. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I try and help, all right? But I can fold the bibs because you only fold them in half. But the bottom line is this, ladies. I know what it's like. I've seen my own mother. I've seen some of you. I've seen my own dear wife do her responsibilities at home and then be her helpmeet to her husband and be absolutely fatigued where you couldn't move one foot in front of the other. And there is a place of discouragement that Satan comes into your life and begins to wreak havoc on your mind when your body is down. This is why God told us to take a day of rest. All right, I'm going to come back to some things in just a minute. But when you are physically tired and worn down, it is almost impossible to be emotionally and spiritually healthy. Absolutely. And fatigue comes in. I'm not here this morning. We don't want to start this today where the ladies start preaching in church. And can I get a witness? We're not wanting to do that, okay? But I know this much, you face fatigue. You face fatigue if you do the responsibilities laid out in front of you. I know you do. Many of you are balancing a work life and a home life, and you are fatigued, and you get discouraged, and you balance between, am I failing at home and failing or succeeding at work, or am I succeeding at work and failing at home? And you face that all the time, and Satan comes in and says, you're not doing either one of them good. I want to tell you something. Many times it's simply fatigue that leads to discouragement. You're worn out. Your defenses are down, and Satan gets at you. Can I tell you? I think you know this. I don't live on Discouragement Mountain very much. That's not just my personality. But I can tell you this: that the worst. And I'm not trying to put this all about me, but the worst day of my life is Monday morning. I'm emotionally fatigued. I'm physically fatigued. I just got an email the other day. This guy said, "I was so worn out, Pastor. I was so worn out. I preached 48 times last year." 48 times? That's not even 52. I mean, 48 times? I preached 48 times in a quarter. He's all talking about, he preached out at 48. I don't know, was he preaching for 6 hours? I didn't know what that was all about, but I didn't realize you could only preach 48 times in a year. I didn't realize. I'm not going to do that, by the way. But the bottom line is this, when fatigue is in, discouragement comes. Amen. I'm just telling you right now. And ladies, when you get physically fatigued, Satan will discourage you. You're out of strength. You're emotionally spent. All of those things. You feel like, quite frankly, you just can't get the job done. What the Bible says here, and we could look and see in the book of Nehemiah, they're beginning to build this wall, but I know sometimes when you're doing something, you think, well, I made it halfway there. You know what you realize? You got to do just as much as you just got done. Right? If you get 100 tasks throughout the week and you do 50 of them, you wear you out and you think, praise God, I got 50 done. Now I got to do the same thing just to get it finished. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? Amen. Now, you gentlemen, you might be thinking, I don't deal with that. But we're not going to talk about brains and how we work and different things like that. Men are this one thing I do, right? And we get our tasks done and we don't have to worry about the other tasks. That's the way we generally work. We get our tasks done, we move on to the next one. That's not the way God has wired women to help them build the house. Women are wired differently. Give me an amen on this, fellas. Help me out, fellas. Women are wired differently. Men, we think differently. We're physically different, obviously, but we think differently. God has designed that. Right? God has designed that. This is my favorite memories of my whole life. It just happened not too long ago. Please forgive me for this. But my wife, about 3 weeks ago, was on the phone, nursing a baby, and spanking a kid at the same time. That's the truth. You know what I thought? Awesome! I couldn't do that. I'd be like, hold on just a minute. And I'd get back to my task. Why? God has wired women differently to help them build the house. Help me out here now. This is not an inferiority versus superiority issue. This is simply a matter of design. Amen. And when women get fatigued, Satan begins to come in and discourage and say you're not doing your job. Can I say to you husbands, in case I forget to say this, when your wife is fatigued, please recognize that. Recognize the change in mood. Recognize the change in demeanor. Recognize that, hey, something is going on here. And help her. I'd like a little more help on that, fellas. I'm just telling you, fatigue is a dangerous thing. Read Exodus chapter number 18. Moses' father-in-law came to him and said, you're going to wear yourself out. This is not good. It's not good for you. It's not good for the people. I know we live in a day and age, it's all about, I saw something on Facebook. This is real dumb. This was dumb. All right. I looked it up in the Greek. It's dumb. I saw this Facebook. It was supposedly a Christian woman's post. And she said, sometimes you just have to go away, get therapy and a bottle of wine. Well, there's a whole lot going on wrong with that statement. If you need a bottle of wine to cope with things, you got a problem. Amen. Help me out now. Come on. You got the Spirit of God to help us out here. But here's the whole thing. I do know what it's like, ladies. I do know you need to get replenished, and I do know fatigue is a real deal. And Satan works through it. God knows us so much that He gave us 6 days to work and one to rest. Fatigue is a dangerous thing. Notice me next here in verse number 10. Are y'all okay with me? I'm just not a barn burner today. I just want to encourage our ladies. Verse number 10. So that we are not able to build the wall. Well, they were able to build the wall. read the book, but they got frustrated. So give me point number 10 that discourages you. Or point number two, frustration. My wife is a champ. She's one of the toughest women I've ever known. She really is. She is a tough, tough cookie. You say, if somebody insults you, what are you going to do? I'm going to call my wife on you, all right? She'll come out and take care of you. She's a tough cookie. She's got a great, and I'm not trying to embarrass her. She's a quiet gal, but she's got a great determination about her and a resolve that quite frankly embarrasses me many times. It really does. I'm like, man, I got to step up my game here, you know, because she has got a resolve and an iron will. But I do know this. I see sometimes she's doing this, she's doing that, and she just gets frustrated. Seems like everything in front of her is too much to get done. And then she feels like you can't. I'm not trying to embarrass her in front of everybody. I don't know if she's even here. She may not be in here. But then begins to feel like you can't get anything done. Can't get nothing done right. My wife is not, she's not one of those that comes wounded warrior kind of, that's just not her spirit. Those of you that know her know that. But I see it, and though she never really says it to me, I see the frustration mounting in her life, and she gets discouraged because, man, this meal and this and that and whatnot, and my wife likes things to be in their place and in their order, and it's been an interesting transition these last 15 years. What transition? Me married? I don't care where things are. If everything's out in the place, I can find it. Oh, there it is over there. She likes everything in a place. I like it out in the open. But anyway, we've been working on that, and I'm part of the big source of her frustration, quite frankly. But I want to tell you something, ladies, when you feel like that task is too much in front of you, you get discouraged. You get frustrated that things aren't working out. You've been trying that child rearing. You've been doing that discipline. You've been laying those things out. You've been encouraging. You've been nurturing and admonishing. You've been doing everything the Bible says to do, but the fruit isn't there yet, and you get frustrated. You get frustrated. Satan discourages you and says your efforts are pointless and worthless. There's much rubbish in your life. Verse number 10, again, I'll say this, that there's a face of an overcoming obstacle, of an overwhelming obstacle, and he says that we are not able to build the wall. So first he says, I got a bunch of rubbish in my life. Now I will say this, I'm not trying to get the whole, you know, whatever like this, but how many of you ladies have ever cleaned your house and turned around and looked at it, it didn't even look like you touched it? Okay. I know, I've been to some of your houses, amen. that's not true. But listen, all right, I had to be mean one time, you know. I'm going to say this. You feel like, well, just one time. I had to. It's in my nature. All right. I know what it's like, ladies. You sit there and you got all this stuff and it's all this rubbish and it's frustrating because you just did this and you just did that. And then also it just becomes overwhelming. We're not able to build the wall. One thing piled up on another. Now you've got this appointment. You got to run to this appointment. You got to get this kid over here. You got to do this kinds of things. And you got blah, 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 blah. And what's a woman to do with all these things that are going on? And there's a face of overwhelming obstacle in your life. And you think, I got to get dinner on the table. I got to get this over here. I got to get these kinds of things. And by the way, ladies, there are things that men are not equipped to do that only a woman can do. This is the truth. It is the truth. I feed my baby. I diaper my baby. I love it. I love it. But I'll be honest with you. I'd rather work 18 hours out in the hot sun. I would. Than to take care of an infant for 18 hours. I can't do it. You say, yes, you can. I can if I have to. But my wife, she can do it. She can take care of that one, the other three. Sometimes I have to come home and take care of two of them. But you know what I'm talking about. But it just seems overwhelming. And you get discouraged. Get discouraged that this is just too much for me to accomplish. I'm to love my husband. I'm to respect my husband. And this is going on over here. And then I got to raise my children, nurture and admonition of the Lord. And he's not at work. And they're I'm kind of wondering where they came from. They're little angels, but which side are they on? And all these different things are going on like this. And I've got this and I've got that. And you're juggling burdens and all these kinds of things. And you just get overwhelmed and you get discouraged. Those are vehicles. Those are vehicles that Satan uses. Let me give you another one here, verse 11 and 12. Our adversary said, they shall not know neither see till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places when she shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Let me just say this one. I'm not a psychologist, but something ticked me off the other day at the doctor's office. My wife and I went to her little follow-up exam or whatever you go to do after you have a baby, 5, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, and all those different things. And actually, she was still pregnant. And we went up to check out and get our next thing scheduled. And literally, we're scheduling our next appointment. And right there was an advertisement. The advertisement said this: got a few extra pounds? Talking in a pregnant woman office here. Yeah, they got a few extra pounds. I was insulted, quite frankly. One, pregnant woman, most beautiful thing in the world. Amen. That's amazing. That's life. That's life begetting life. There is nothing quite like that one. Somebody say amen right there. But that offended me that they would take that opportunity, knowing that a woman is vulnerable about her image. And we can get into the psychology of that, but that's the way God made you, to be confirmed in your husband. But anyway, I don't have time to get into all that today. Somebody help me out now here. Men, you are to be confirming your wife's image to her. You are to do that. You are to do that. But anyway, I looked at all that and talking about getting liposuction and all this other different things. And I said, why is that here? This is the same office where they call me out for whistling at my wife. So I'll just tell you about that in another time, okay? You going to whistle at her again? I whistle at her all the time. Get over it. Amen. Like that was a rude way to communicate, all right? But anyway, let me just give you this. I'm going to be very real with you here. These accusations that were coming in verse 11 and 12 had a purpose behind them: produce insecurity. To produce insecurity. The insecurity came from without and it came from within. There was those on the outside telling them they couldn't get it done, and there were other Jews telling them they couldn't get it done. And ladies, I know that this world puts forth a different kind of confidence that tells you need to have, and that's really not the kind of confidence you need to have. Amen. We need to look at that. But there is something about you understanding, ladies, this. I do know that insecurities creep into your life. That bothered me that they were trying to play upon some insecurities that my wife may not have been feeling at that time. That kind of ticked me off. Amen. Don't you dare make my wife feel insecure. Amen. Now, she don't, because I tell her all the time. I do. I try to be an encouragement to her. But that bothered me. And ladies, I know you deal with insecurities. I know you do. You've got ladies on the outside. You've got Vogue, which is not in Vogue, which is a bunch of filth, telling you got to look this way and be that way. You got to do this and got to get all that done. Somebody help me out right now. And then you've got that own voice inside of you. I'm not trying to be a psychologist here, because I'm not. But that voice inside of you is saying, I'm not this, I'm not that, all those kinds of things. And Satan will play upon your insecurities to discourage you. Let me tell you the difference between men and women, one of the differences. I shared this a couple years ago. Today, if two men would have showed up in the same suit, we'd have high-fived it. Nice, dude! Two ladies would have showed up, one of you would have gone home. How dare she wear the same... Did you coordinate? I don't know. We would have taken that as a compliment. Ladies would take that generally as an insult. Nobody wants to Instagram picture with matching a dress with somebody else. I know that. Why? I don't know why it makes you feel insecure. I would feel confident out of that my choice and my decisions were a good decision, that somebody else affirmed what I was doing. That's the way I would take that, but not a lady. A lady says, I'm dressed the same way. And she looked better than I did, and blah, 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 blah. I just know you got insecurities. Those insecurities of themselves are not bad. They just got to get fulfilled the right place. And that's what your husband is for. And fellas, I'm going to talk to you in just a minute. But those are four vehicles of discouragement that come into your life. You're not good enough. You're not this. You don't fit the mold. Some of you right now are insecure because culture says you ought to look a certain way and you're not. Praise God. Amen. 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 You don't need to look what culture says. But those are four vehicles. Now let me just give you rather quickly this morning. I won't even get into it. Ladies, I just want you to understand something. That in the midst of doing what you're supposed to be doing, you can get discouraged. And I just don't want you to. I want you to be encouraged. Know what you're doing, what you're supposed to be doing. Let me give you some things here. How do we overcome discouragement? How do we overcome the discouragement of the fatigue and the this and the that and the naysayers? And can I say this, ladies? I'm going to pause here. I had two sisters. My sisters had friends, but I could never really tell if they were friends or enemies. Because I'm just speaking here. A fella, if he don't like you, he'll punch you in the face and you get over it. It's done. You shake hands afterwards and off you go. No problems. Didn't you fight with that guy? That was like 20 years ago. So what? We're best buddies now. I mean, that's the way it works. Ladies, Ladyville's interesting. It's interesting. Take a picture and then comment, but a hypocrite. I mean, it's like, why are you taking a picture with him? Stab each other in the back. That happens. That's the way this world works. I don't know why. I'm not trying to say why. I just know this, that ladies can be the best of friends, the best of enemies at the same time. I don't know how that works, but let me just tell you, don't do that. I I just felt like I stepped on a landmine, but I'm serious. I didn't know my sister come home. I didn't know who I was going to have to fight. You say, would you fight a girl for your sister? I'd do anything for my sisters. Amen. She had seen some of the girls she hung around with. They's tough. Psalm 127 with me. Go here. I want to go Psalm 127. Ladies, you got to fight this discouragement. Husbands, do not contribute to this discouragement. Don't ever, let me just talk about this, about the insecurity thing. I was talking to our teenagers this morning. The Instagram life and the Facebook life is a fake life. Amen. My life doesn't look like that, and you're insecure about what you got. But most of the people on there would love to have what you have. Amen. Amen? They'd love to have it. They'd love to have it. I'm just telling you right now, you got to be careful about these insecurities. Ladies, you're becoming insecure by a bunch of hellions telling you how you ought to look, dress, and act. That's ridiculous. Don't you dare give into that. Don't be insecure about that. Amen? I didn't line up with that. Did you line up with the Word of God? But anyway, I want to just give you some things here. I'm going to be done. Are we okay? Ladies, are we okay? Gentlemen, we okay? I know I just stepped on a landmine about the friend thing. I realized that one. I just saw like a... But that's the truth, okay? And I don't care. That's the truth. I've seen it happen. All right, here we go. Let me just give you some things very quickly. Psalm 127, verse number 1 and 2. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved. What's the next word? How do you overcome fatigue? Rest your body. Rest your body. This is a biblical command. I want you to understand that today is Sunday. It is not the Sabbath day. It is not the Sabbath day. It is not. And we always say it. It's been Christian lingo in America for a long time, but this is not the Sabbath day. Sabbath day, first of all, was on Saturday. Okay? The Sabbath that we recognize is not the same type of Sabbath that what you'd see in your ceremonial Sabbath. Somebody give me an amen on that right there. The Sabbath, first and foremost, was a day of rest. God created you for that. God created you to work six, rest on another one. So today is not my Sabbath day. It's a busy day for me. Amen? Somebody says, you get every weekend off? I got every weekend on. Praise the Lord, and I love it. All right? That's not the weekend, it's the week start. But anyway, you got to have it, ladies. You got to find a place of rest. I'm just going to be honest with you here. There's a lot of things a nap can fix. I know personally. I can be almost, you know, hey, you know, what happened? You got renewed. Your brain shut off. That's what's supposed to happen when you sleep. Some of your brain shut off right now, but you know, all of us. But this is a biblical principle. Rest. Amen. Fellas, give your wife some time to rest. Amen. Find a way for her to find some rhythm in her life of rest. You know, fellas, come home. I'm tired. You are tired. But honey over here just took care of, you know, the army of, you know, the Mongol army here. I mean, you know, This was boot camp while you were gone, and everybody's tired, but you're the man. So why don't you be a little more tired than she is for just a minute and let her get some rest? I've stepped on another landmine. I'm having to find this for my wife right now. I'm telling you, the time for her to rest is very few and far between. We got to eat all these different things going on. But I want to tell you something. It's vain, the Bible says, to try and build a house when you're not rested like you're supposed to be. Amen. I know that's not great, but it's the truth. Verse number 13. Let's go back to Nehemiah. I'll close with this. Almost. How many of you have ever seen something like this, maybe on social media? Our crazy life. And what that means is somehow we are now, as a culture, to somehow honor disorder. That's what it means. We got this crazy life, we're going all the way over here, and blah, 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 blah. And I understand life is busy, but I want to tell you something. God is a God of order. Amen. Amen. You're told as a lady that if you don't have them over here doing this, over here doing that, family over here doing that, stretch them all the way over here, and you don't even know where you're at, you get one event finished, you got to go stop over to another one, that you're somehow not doing it, and so that is now honorable with your crazy life. But that's not what God said to do. God is a God of order. Amen. So how do you, when you're dealing with the fatigue of all that's going on, things are too much, you reorganize your life. Verse number 13. Therefore said I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places. I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. Here's what Nehemiah did. Once he saw all was going on, he said, wait a minute, I got to get everybody reorganized here. I'm just trying to be a help to you today, ladies. Reorganize your life. You don't have to do everything. There are some things you must do that are necessary, but you don't have to do everything. Somebody give me an amen on this one right here. Fellas, help me out right here. I think a lot of reasons ladies are fatigued is they're stressed out doing things they're not supposed to be doing. That's just what I'm on right there. I'll just be honest with you. Reorganize your life. There is no honor in disorder. Yes, we have a busy life. Personally, we have a busy life. But I want to tell you something. We have tried to take some steps necessary as a family over the last couple of years, the last several months, to make sure that, wait a minute, we're going to reorganize some things because, the church may not grow as much as it might, but I'd rather see my family grow, first of all. I'm just going to be honest with you right there. I'd rather keep my wife and my kids. Do I want to keep you in church and keep you engaged? Yeah, absolutely, all those kind of things, but I want to see my kids grow up. So we're going to reorganize our life just a little bit. Amen. Learn to say no to some things. See, our problem is we're saying no to the right things and yes to the wrong things. I don't have time to serve the Lord, but I got... Because you're too busy. Reorganize your life. God is a God of order. I feel like I'm making people mad or this is stupid, but I'm just telling you something. This is the way discouragement comes. Reorganize your life just a little bit. Give me a third one here. Reinforce your relationships. Verse number 13. I set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. I think what was going on here in Nehemiah is everybody was just kind of doing what they were supposed to be doing. And Nehemiah said, wait a minute, let's put people together with their families together. Let's make sure we're building this life together. And I saw all the time I had to say on this was basically this. You got to reinforce your relationships. Ladies, anytime you get discouraged, much of it is this. We're out of relationship with the people we're supposed to be in relationship with. Amen. Do you know that you have been created and placed in this church to encourage one another, exhort one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching? Much of the New Testament of the church life is lived with one another attached to it. And what happens so many times is you just get separated. I'll speak specifically to ladies. Those of you that are stay-at-home moms maybe really deal with this. You're this, you're that. You don't see the light of day. You know, you got kids, blah, blah, blah. Your husband comes home and he's like, hey, you know, and whatever like that. And you've had 1,000 words with two little, you know, and that's the conversation you've had for all day and blah, 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 blah. Husbands, you got to help your ladies. You got to help your wife reinforce the relationships. They need to talk to an adult. Means you got to be one. Amen. They got to be one. They need to talk to an adult. They need that connection. They need the relationships reinforced. My wife and I, we're our best buddies, but I know this much. My wife needs to spend time with other ladies. It's good for her. It's good for you too, ladies. Amen. I know I'm not blowing your minds here, but the bottom line is this. You want to overcome discouragement and you feel like you're all these kinds of things. Maybe you just need to reorder your life a little bit and reinforce some relationships in your life. Verse number 14, remember the Lord. I looked and I rose up and said to the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. Typically, when we feel discouraged, we've got our eyes on the problems and off of the Lord. Paul said in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, he talked about the Lord's deliverance in his life. He said, I know what he's done in the past. I know what he's done, we're doing right now, so I know he's going to do it in the future. So ladies, when you're discouraged and you're tired in your life, fellas, whoever we are, we're discouraged, we're overwhelmed with all this stuff. Remember, God got you through some stuff already. He'll get you through some other things. Amen. If you made it through childbirth, you can get through just about anything. That's still mind-blowing, quite frankly. Ladies are tough. Amen. They're tough. There are some men that are tough, but ladies are tougher. I'm just telling you that one right now, and you'll see that someday. Remember the Lord. God will help you through it. Ladies, you're just totally spun out. Oh, I just can't get one foot further. God will get you through it because He got you through so much already. Amen. You just keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. Now, let's all stand and we'll be done. I don't know if this has been a help to any of you ladies or not. I'm not a victimologist. I don't like songs that are about victimology. I just can't abide it, quite frankly. It's just something I can't jive with. But I know this much. Discouragement is something very real, and it's something that ladies face. And men face it too, but I know ladies face it. I know Satan discourages Christian womanhood, Christian responsibilities, makes light of it, makes fun of it, our culture does. It might just be easier to walk away, what you feel like. But you know you can't, right? Because you're an adult. You've made adult decisions and now have adult responsibilities. Everybody with me on this right here? So how do you deal with that discouragement? Rest your body. reorganize your life, reinforce your relationships with people and with the Lord particularly. Ladies, I don't know where you're going to find it, but you got to find a time to get alone with God. You must do it in your car. I don't know where you're going to do it, but you got to do it. That's where your life comes from. Remember the Lord, and then I'll just say this. When you're discouraged and you're ready to throw in the towel and think you're an absolute failure, you got to remember what's at stake. Fight for your brethren, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Amen. Satan's going to discourage you, ladies, but you remember you got something at stake. You got a house you're building. There's nothing more difficult to deal with. Please, I'm not trying to be humorous here. There is nothing more difficult to deal with than an angry mom. That's the truth. All the conflict I've ever had in youth group problems, dad come up to me like, hey, can we talk about this? Sure. The mom comes in talking before I even knew what we're talking about. What happened? Why? Because somebody got wounded. Sometimes it was stupid and sometimes I actually got hurt. Why? She's fighting for her children. Ladies, remember what's at stake here. You got a generation that Satan's trying to discourage you from raising and impacting. Recognize that the source of the fact that you're discouraged means you're going in the right direction, probably. And reinforce your relationship with the Lord. I hope that's been a blessing to you today. Ladies, we love you so much. What a blessing you are. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my mother. I'm thankful for the ladies in this church. I want to encourage you to not be discouraged. When you get fatigued, fellas, help your ladies. Please, please help them find some time of rest. When you feel like you're overwhelmed and all this stuff is too much, just reorganize a little bit. Work on those relationships with your husband, with your friends, your real friends. Learn to discern what a real friend is. Fake friends will drain you. Real friends will enforce you. Sometimes they'll confront you, but they're real friends. Find who your real friends are. Remember the Lord. Recognize what's at stake here. Something bigger than yourself. Something big. You can stay at it. And ladies, we pray for you and we love you this morning. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. You're here this morning. I know this wasn't a gospel message. I know that. I know that this was a very specifically pointed message, mostly to mothers, mostly to ladies, and mostly to many of you, particularly with children. I know you struggle with a lot of things. I hope I've not embarrassed my own wife and my own mother. But I know that these insecurities that creep in your life, and these different things, and this discouragement is not of God. God has not ordered this. It is our culture, and it is Satan seeking to discourage you. I know discouragement is a powerful weapon. Ladies, we love you this morning.